Yesterday, I just went through a couple of Svarim, I jotted down a couple of half-baked ideas, just ideas relating to Tu B'Shvat. Obviously, today's Tu B'Shvat. It's a Yom Hadin. It's Rosh Hashanah Li'ilonos. The trees are judged. What kind of fruit? What kind will? It's a Rosh Hashanah for the trees. How will the trees survive? I think of Meir. You mentioned to me that you saw in the Flatbush Jewish Journal, one of the most famous Erlach. Why is it that on Shavuos is the Yom Hadin for the Peros, correct? On Shavuos, there's a judgment if the Peros Bikurim, we bring on Shavuos the first fruits. Uviyoim Habikurim, and how do we celebrate Shavuos? What is the custom to do in the Beis HaKnesses? To decorate the Beis HaKnesses with trees. Today, Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah Li'ilonos. It's the Yom Hadin, not for the fruit, but it's the Rosh Hashanah for the trees. And how do we celebrate today? By eating fruit. A suda of having fruit. So shouldn't it be the other way around? On Shavuos, which is called the Yom HaBikurim, the day when we offer before HaKadosh Baruch Hu the first fruits, then we should eat fruits. We should celebrate the fruit. Bari Priyo Eitz. And make an Al Ha'etz Yal Priyo Eitz. But on Tu B'Shvat, when it's a Yom HaDin for the Rosh Hashanah, for the Ilanos, we should go and decorate the Batek and the Seals with trees. So what's the answer? The answer to the Liman Musar is that you always need Zuchusim. A person should never think that he can survive on his own. You always have to come on to someone else. Therefore, on Yom HaBikurim, the day of fruits, who are the Zuchus? The fruits, the Peros? The Peros need to come on to the Zuchus Avos. Who are the Zuchus Avos? The Zuchus Avos are the trees. On Tu B'Shvat, when it's the trees are Yoshev and Din, Hashem is judging, will this tree survive? Will this tree live? Will this tree now? I forgot to bring this in. Okay, but on Rosh Hashanah, the trees will live, will now live. I'll tell you one something I was referring to. We celebrate the Kindalach. Hashem, have Rachmanis on us. If not for us, do it for the Kindalach, for our children, for the things that will come forth. In that merit, we should survive. In fact, the Gemara talks about the Behemoth. There was a Maish that sometimes Hashem has Rachmanis upon man because of the animals. Because the animals don't deserve to suffer, so Hashem has Rachmanis. It's a very beautiful idea and a very powerful Musa Haskell. You always have to look calm on the Zuchus, and either the Zuchus of us or the Zuchus of the next generation. Okay, just to recall from memory, there was an article in Ami magazine. It was in fact the editorial by Rabbi Frankfurter. He's a Satma Chassid. He likes to show, he likes to always quote different poets and all different things he likes to draw from. So he mentioned a Jewish poet that wrote this fantastic poem or piyut for Tu B'Shvat. Basically, what he did is, I wanted to, we should have brought it in. He probably can get it online. You have to find it where he took the Nesane Toikef, and basically rewrote the Nesane Toikef from the perspective of a tree. It's a very interesting idea, even though I'm not telling you what it says, but just like mi yichye mi yamus, mi yishafel mi yarum, so trees also, which tree will blossom, which will be cut down by the city. So it's an interesting idea. If you were making your own piyut, it's a very interesting idea to draw from. To take the Nesane Toikef, just to rewrite the Nesane Toikef from the perspective of a tree. Okay. It's a Yom Hadin. Chazal tell us that in Rosh Hashanah that on Tu B'Shvat the trees are being judged. Okay, now what is the significance of a tree? What? So I have to see what it says in the piyut. The piyut somehow has something very clever about that. Okay, let's go to the search online in the Nesane Toikef for trees. Type in Nesane Toikef for trees. The name of the person who the poet who was nifted recently, I believe. That's why he quoted him. Okay, we have over here Pasuk in Parashah. Everyone quotes the Pasuk, Ki Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh. pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, the pasuk in Parsha talks about when a person goes out to the Klal Yisrael, they go out to Mulchama. Whether it's a Mulchama Smith, a Mulchama Shoshus, Ki Satsu, Al Ili Yom, Rabim, Lilochim, Olecha, Lisasa, if you're going out to wage war against your enemy, and you're now laying siege to a city, and now when you're laying siege, you need a lot of wood. That's what you need to win a siege. You need wood to go and build a fortress, to build fortifications around the siege. No one gets out, so you would be inclined to chop down trees to use its wood for lumber. Pasuk says, not so fast. If there's no pikuach nefesh, lo sashchis es etza, don't destroy its trees. Lindoyach olav gar zen, ki mimenu sochel, because it's balt hashchis, this is the source of balt hashchis, ki mimenu sochel, ve'oso lo schros, and then the pasuk did something very bizarre. The pasuk could have stopped right there, don't chop down trees, but it says, you know why? Ki ha'odam eitz hasodeh. Lavoy miponecha mamatzodeh, because the person is a tree. That you're going to harp us to translate lavoy mupanecha b'matzar. Here in the art scroll, they translate it is a tree, and a man knocked down. It is the tree of the field, a man, that it should enter the siege before you. It's a question. The way it learns pasuk here, we're not going to go through the details. I didn't prepare. Ki ha'adam eitz hasodeh lavoy mupanecha b'matzar is the tree a human being that gives you the right to cut him down because of the war? The tree is not bothering you. The tree is not your enemy. The people inside of the city are your enemy. They have to be killed. But the tree is not your enemy. Therefore, you have no right to cut down the tree. That's the simple translation of the pasuk. It's a great as a question form. Not everyone learns that pshat. That's a rational pshat, the pasuk. Whatever it is, but the pasuk incidentally does compare a tree to a human being. Ki ha'adam, that's where we translated ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. And the question is, why all of a sudden here in this pasuk, when dealing with going to war and laying siege against a city, does the pasuk have to mention this concept that a person is called compared to a tree? So the answer is fairly simple, and that is, when a person goes to war, you are in a frame of mind. You are in a frame of mind of killing. That's what goes on in war. There are enemies, so you kill. Oh, there's collateral damage, so be it. That's how it is. War is war. You have to kill. And people have a tendency to be indiscriminate. They don't care. They just kill everyone. The pasuk is telling you, no, not so fast. Don't chop down the trees. And just like you can relate that when you're coming to besiege the city, the trees are not your enemies. The pasuk says, ki ha'odam eitz hasodeh. I want you to remember this concept, that a person is also a tree. And just because you now are in the frame of mind of killing, because that's what you do in war, no one's going to hold you accountable for how many people you kill, but don't kill people in war that don't need to be killed. There are enemies, there are people that need to be killed, but don't just walk into a city and shoot everyone. That's not proper. And the way the Torah tells us this is, when you're laying siege, don't chop down trees that are fruit trees, that produce fruit, that are not necessary. And we take that lesson with you when you enter the enemy town and you do start killing people. Hold back, because a person is also called a tree. And just like 5 minutes ago, when you were outside the city, you did not cut down the tree, so too, don't cut down every single person when you come into battle. Battle is a very delicate time. You have to make very tough decisions, who has to be killed, who has not to be killed. Now, why is a person compared to a tree? So I saw a very interesting sefer. He gave four different mashal. We have four different major characteristics that we find about trees. Number one, trees produce fruit. Well, not just produce fruit. When do you make a bari pri'etz and when do you make a bari pri'adama? A bari pri'etz is only made on something when the gizoy enoy machlef. When you take a fruit off a tree, the trunk of the tree remains there forever. If you have a type of vegetation, type of object that you cut down, and by cutting it down, it has to completely regrow, its stem has to regrow, then you make a hadama. That's not called a fruit in halacha, that's called a vegetable. That's called vegetable. So the essence of a tree is, you take away the fruit, but the root, the trunk, the source remains there forever. That's a mashal for a human being. A person is a fruit, but it never takes away from the fact of the zuchus avos, that you come from something that can that is always forever. People have a tendency, if a person has a tendency to think that you're independent and you have no makar, you don't have any roots, you don't come from anything before you, that is not called a tree. A tree is something which is gizoy Einoy machlef. The trunk is there before you. It's a mashal for zechus avos. Okay, another characteristic of a tree is a tree grows tall. It's b'koyma zekufa. In the bria, all animals are bent. The only thing that stands erect are human beings. And the fact that Gemara says that a human being is compared to an animal in three ways, and is compared to a malach in three ways. And one of the three ways that a human being is compared to a malach is that a person stands b'koyma zekufa. Just like among living creatures, only human beings stand straight. Among vegetation, the only creature that stands straight is a tree. A tree stands b'koyma zekufa. And that represents the kach that a person has the ability to raise himself up all the way on a spiritual level. Another characteristic of a tree is that the benefit of a person, one of the main benefits you derive from a tree is not just its fruit, but its shade, its tzel. Almost every benefit that we have in this world, when you derive benefit at the same moment in time, you're causing destruction. When you have a fruit, the hana you gain from a fruit is consumption. At the moment of consumption, the fruit has been destroyed. When it comes to a tree, the tree, in addition to providing fruit, also provides shade. Shade, the benefit you derive from the shade is not destroyed. I think it's a very fascinating concept. Shade is continuous. There are leaves, and the leaves provide shade. The moment when I am deriving benefit from shelter, from the rain, from the elements, from the heat, the leaves are vibrant. The leaves are not being destroyed. That is a mashal for a person. When a person does a mitzvah, the zechus of that mitzvah remains forever and ever. And the fourth major characteristic of a tree is you're able to take a branch and you're able to graft it, or you're able to put the graft to stick it in the ground, and from one branch you can make another tree. A branch can reproduce itself, and that's also the koich of a human being, has the ability to give over to the next generation. You can reproduce your koyach to future generations. So just a simple idea. There are four major characteristics of a tree, and that's why a person is compared to a tree. Number one, a tree, the source, the trunk, remains intact, zuchus avos. Number two, a tree is becoming a zukufa, like a malach. A human being is like a malach, is becoming a zukufa. Number three, a tree produces a continuous benefit. It produces shade, and the shade it produces does not take away. And number four, you can take a tree, you can bend a tree into the ground, and you can reproduce itself. All of these things I saw in the Sefer Tiferes Elimelech. Okay, another quick idea. Today it says in Svarim HaKadoshim that you are supposed to be mispalel today, that when it comes around Sukkot time, you should find yourself a good esrog. Now, by the way, why? It's Rosh Hashanah, it's Tu B'Shvat, it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. All the commentators ask the question that it should say Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilonos, the Lashon Rabban. Why did it say Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon? We're referring to one very specific tree, the tree of the Esrog. The Esrog is considered to be the tree, the Hei Haidia. Why? It was the only tree that did not participate in the Chet Eitz Hadas, in the Bria, in the Chet that came before the Eitz Hadas. Hashem told all the trees, Eitz Peri, that every tree should produce fruit that tastes like the wood also should have a taste. But the trees did not listen. They did not violate Hashem's command. Eitz Oseh Peri. The tree felt... The tree did not follow Hashem's watson osepri. It did not vero l'shma. What's the vero l'shma? A parent always wants the child to be better than the parent. Think about that. You always want more for your child. The parent will give anything that they have to a child. In other words, they'll even give the food all of its flavor. Eitz osepri. My child, I give you everything. I give you my taste. I will dry up like a hard piece of wood, but you, my child, you fruit, you will have all of the delicious taste and fragrance. Eitz Osepri. That's a pretty nice thing. So the tree thought it was doing a favor. It was doing lefnim yishur sadin. But the truth is, don't be too baltoisef. Don't do more than what you're supposed to. That was the mistake of the tree. Even though it was a very nice gesture, that for the eitz, to give the fruit more than what the tree itself had, Hashem said, that's not what I told you to do. I told you to be equal. Eitz peri. The only one that got the message is the Esrog. The Esrog, therefore the Esrog represents the spitz of all the trees. There's another fascinating thing.
Did anybody ever test that?
What? The Gemara says it, so it's pretty. And another fascinating thing, which is very true, and you see, you have to ask this to a place. Hear stories about this by different places. Apples. If I show you 100 apples, can you really tell me the difference between the apples? Can you really? There's probably no such thing in the whole world as two apples that look alike.
You're talking about different types of apples.
Let's talk about the same type. Same type of agnish. Same type. Take a case. Take a crate. Not the taste. Same apples. A crate. They're like these massive crates of 1,000 apples. So, can you tell the difference between the two apples? Well, yeah. I'll show you two apples. I'll tell the difference. I pass in front of you 100 apples in this crate. Can you tell me? Can you recognize? After a while, your head will start spinning. You get so dizzy. They all look the same to me. The difference between one apple and another apple is very different. Human beings. Do you ever see two human beings that look exactly alike? Okay, identical twins. But even identical twins are not always 100% identical. Okay, besides identical twins, there are no two people that look alike. Kishem, the Gemara says, Kishem, Shepartsufeim, Enam, Shamus, Kach. They're the same, they're the way they think. There are no two human beings which look alike. When it comes to the world of vegetation, do forms of vegetation look alike? They definitely do. Every cucumber looks like another cucumber. You really can't tell the difference. If I'll pass it now, even though scientifically they're different, there are no two cucumbers that look exactly the same, I am assuming scientifically, but it's not significant. It's not, the difference between two cucumbers is not significant where you can tell the difference. If I wake you up in the middle of the night, if I give names, if I have a garden, I've got five cucumbers, and we'll give them all names, we'll call them all Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and I'm going to wake you up in the middle of the night and say, okay, here's a cucumber, identify. Is this Levi or Yehuda? Will you be able to tell the difference? No, you won't. It's not a significant difference. It's not a significant difference. Even the Cabbage Patch dolls, they're not significant. Now, if you're talking about the American Girl dolls, that's already a different story. What? Before that. So they have a yeshivish, they have a knockoff, a yeshivish brand. For Lakewood, they have a knockoff brand. So the Shia, can you tell? But believe it or not, this is a phenomenon, which is an amazing phenomenon. Why Esrog is the most important fruit is because no two Esrog will look alike. There's a difference in between two Esrogim is so significant that you can tell the difference. If I give you 10 Esrogim which look very closely alike, and we give them names, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and I wake you up in the middle of the night, you will be able to tell me that this is Esrog Levi. It's a fascinating thing, and the proof is they're Paiskim that sit the whole day. They drive them crazy. They paskin on Esrogim, Kosh, Apostle, B'dievah, this, and then you hear stories. Paisik is already looking at an Esrog, already looking at the 10,000th Esrog, and someone brings and he says, I saw this one already. I already paskin on this Esrog. What happened? Yeah, the owner, he brought it, probably found that he brought it back to the store, brought it back to the maker, he didn't want it, and someone else took it, and he didn't know, and they ended up going to the same Paisik. There are stories like this, very common stories, where people buy Esrogim, and the Paisik says, that's good, B'dievah, and he goes, bring it back, or even if it's very good, you find the better one, you bring it back, and someone else buys, then the other person brings the same Esrog, and the person says, I recognize this Esrog. It's very true. You go to a store, and you have on table 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 Esrog, and you go through them. I've seen that one, and you go through it. Everyone is different. This is a phenomenon that is only unique to Esrog. Esrog have so many qualities. It's an amazing thing. Pre-Eitz Hadar. What's Pshat Pre-Eitz Hadar? Is it really so beautiful? What is so beautiful about an Esrog? Okay, it's nice, yellow, it smells, the blitos, this and that. What makes something, the hoda, the yoifi of an Esrog is that the no two Esrog in the unique. And that's the tremendous koyach. Ki ha'odam eitz ha'sodeh, a person like a tree. What eitz ha'sodeh? It's Rosh Hashanah le'ilon, Esrog. The focus is to recognize every parent. Tu B'Shvat is the main tree, the tree which produces the fruit, which is the Rosh Hashanah that we're focusing on, is Adam, is a human being. And what is the Hodah, the Yoifi of a human being, is uniqueness. There are no two people that are alike. No two people can accomplish the same thing. Every single purpose has his own unique potential that cannot be possibly replaced in this world. And that's the focus of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, you focus on a fruit in order to remind you that what a human being is, the chashivas of a human being. Yeah. Because why is Shkul Fashidochim?
Girls are alike.
It's true, and the Hanami. That's right. That's right. That's right. No, the combination of two surnames is not alike.
You take the best and
Okay, so this is a very interesting idea. Okay, another short idea about Tu B'Shvat. The minig is, as we said before, it's today the Sraf is Oila B'Ilon. Today the trees, now they begin to be nourished from this year's water. Until Tu B'Shvat, all of the trees are living off last year's water. Last year's Koilel check. Now, Tu B'Shvat, now you begin to dip into this year's Koilel check. This year's water. It says the Chazal, the Mayim from the previous year and this year. And therefore, the sraf is oila b'ilan, the sap goes into the tree, however this works, and everything is now in full swing. And therefore it says in the Svarim HaKadoshim, everyone quotes this, that on Tu B'Shvat a person should be mispalel, that in the coming year, you should zoicha to find a pre-Eitz Hadar. You should be zoicha to be kind of the mitzvah of Ba'ofim Hudr. It's not always so easy to be satisfied with your Esrog. What else are we here for? To do mitzvahs, not for food. So since the only thing we have is the mitzvah of Esrog, you should be mispalel to find the proper Esrog. Now, the thing about this was very bizarre. I have to be mispalel today for the estrog that I'm going to pluck in 6 months from now. I'll worry about it the morning when I want to go buy an estrog. Erev Sukkis, or 2 days before Sukkis, when I go buy my estrog, I'll say a mizmor in Tehillim, that when I go into the store, I should have siyata d'shmaya to go to the right store, to go to the right moicher, to get the right estrog. Today is a hayitochein. Today, when the estrog didn't even grow yet, and the sraf is oila b'ilon, and only it's in full swing, and I have to now be mispalel today, so that everything should go okay, what's going to be now in 6 months, hayitochein? Yeah. So this is a tremendous idea that Tu B'Shvat opens up for us in Chazal's eyes. It is a day of tefillah, a day to plan ahead at tefillah, to make an investment in tefillah. Most tefillahs that we engage in, we misspell every single day, we're pretty much asking for immediate results on face value. We got problems. Right now we got a problem, and the solution is out there, and it just takes a little siyata shmai to connect the dots to find the solution, but the solution pretty much is short term. Hashiva shayvteinu kavar yishayna geula, these things, refuah, the solution is out there. We just got to connect the dots. But the davening for an esrog to be mekayim a mitzvah 6 months in advance, when the sraf, when it first has to grow, is a whole new concept. And the truth is, this concept we dwell upon on Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is the only time of the year when we very publicly mispalel, Ono Hashem. Hashem Yaneinu V'Yom Koreinu. What does that mean? Answer us on the day that we call out. You look at the Mitzudas and Rashi and that pasuk in Tehillim. It's fascinating. Most people ask the average person, what does it mean? Hashem Oshia, Hashem save us, Yaneinu, HaMelech Yaneinu, on the day that we call out. When are we calling out? Today. Hashem, today I'm calling out today. Today I'm calling out to you right now, on this day that I'm calling out to you, I want you to answer me right now. Or at least put into motion whether the solution should come into that. That's how the average person will tell you what it means. That's not what it says there in the Mefarshim and the Pasuk in Tehillim. Hashem Oshia, HaMelech Yaneinu, Hashem will answer us in the future. I'm being mispalel now. I'm being mispalel now that Hashem, in 6 months from now, in 20 years from now, when I'll have a tzara, when I'll have a need, and I'll call out to you. So when I call out to you in 20 years from now, you should answer me because of the tefillah that I'm being mispalel today. It's a different type of concept of tefillah. There's a tefillah that you mispalel for immediate results, and there's a tefillah that you mispalel storage. I'm being mispalel now, and this tefillah should blossom and should lay the foundation for a solution I'm going to need way, way ahead. That is what Tu B'Shvat is all about. Ki ha'odam eitz ha'soda. On Tu B'Shvat, go outside today, I don't see any fruit. I just see ice. Slush, ice, puddles, danger. It's just dangerous out there. There's no fruit. But today, the tree, the sraf, is oila b'ilan. The potential is there. And the investment that's being made by nature, is putting it, is only because of what's happening today, is going to be able to produce results when it comes springtime. What?
Charging
the batteries. It's an investment for the future. And being that a fruit is a mashal for a human being, it's a mashal for a human being, and the whole purpose of an Adam is to koyach av tefillah, ki Adam, a person is a Adam ayin la'avoyres ho'adama, the purpose of man is to be in the spout of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today is a day to learn from nature, to invest in tefillah. There's a time to be mispala, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, every single day. We're mispala for pretty much instant results. But there's also a koyach of a tefillah, which is an investment for HaMelech Ya'aneinu V'Yom Kareinu. And that idea is expressed to some degree when it comes to the Esrog. You mispalel today that the Esrog that you're going to have in the future should be a good Esrog. It should grow well and should make your way Hashkacha Pratis. This is a mashal for a different type of tefillah that we focus on in general in life. Okay, one of the quick thing, or short thing, is that we make the bracha al kiyadam etzas adam etzasada, or you make the bracha on the birchas yulanos, right? When are you starting a bracha in chodesh Nisan? When can you start making the bracha? I forgot. When you start making the bracha of the birchas yulanos, it's a very strange bracha. Ashabara ila briyos tovos. Part of the nusach of the bracha is you thank Hashem, you create ilanos tovos and you create briyos tovos. Why in the world do you say briyos tovos? Creatures. So the answer is because this pasuk, ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, just like a fruit tree is unique and it produces flavor. Fruits, by the way, is a luxury. There was no need for there to be fruits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created the world, we eat bread and water, grain and water. There's no need for fruits. Flavors, all flavoring comes from fruits. Is that correct? Well, artificially, but we copy fruits. Fruit is a luxury. Hashem could have created the world without fruit. Could have created the world with just bread and water. Fruit is a perk. It's a bonus that was not necessary. A person has to give din v'cheshbon achamei v'eshev for every benefit that he could have had hanah, and he denied himself. And that means every fruit which represents symbolic of the benefits, the luxuries that you do have the ability to benefit from, and you're not, you have to give din v'cheshbon if you don't take advantage. That is a mashal for human beings. Every person has something unique what to offer, and if we don't develop and don't bring out the potential of every person, we also have to give din v'cheshbon, because a person is the b'riyos tovos that is mentioned side by side with the ilanos tovos that's mentioned in the brach of the birchas ilanos. Alright, have a wonderful Tu B'Shvat.